relation between Krishna and his loving devotees. He's thinking about their welfare, and they're thinking about his welfare. That's the loving relationship. It's exactly the opposite of the material world. Where everyone in the material world is basically thinking about themselves and their own life. One old Bengali gentleman who used to say, Imbridavan now has passed away. Prasbihari, do you remember what he used to say? Yes, he could say.
I'm the worst kind of fish. Selfish.
Yeah, and basically everyone in the material world is a selfish, because the material world is based on ahankara or false ego, and false ego means selfishness. It means that we turn our back on Krishna. We turn our back on Krishna and we get, we turn our back not only on Krishna, but our relationship with Krishna. And our relationship with Krishna is one of service. So there's some part of us that doesn't like that relationship with Krishna. Why is he in the center? Remember, Lakshmi, remember we were, there was some type of a party program that we had at Gopinath Dham, and we were sitting in front of Lord Nrisimhadev in the gallery, and we asked if there was any questions. And one little girl, yeah, who was 6 or 7 years old, maybe, she asked such a heavy question. Keep it on like that, every little movement of the paper is going to make a rustling sound. It's off. And you know what questions she asked? Can you imagine having the audacity, or you could say the courage to ask what's in everyone's heart? Saying, she asked, why does Krishna have to be in the center? So that's what everyone is thinking, but who will say it? Why can't I be in the center? And that's why it's so lonely in this world. It's because everyone gets a reflection of the spiritual world, their own little reflection of the spiritual world in which they are the center, and that is called the mind. And it's lonely because you can't convince anyone else that you're the center. And there you are, in your own little universe in which you're the center. But you can't convince anyone else. But in the spiritual world, there is harmony, because everyone accepts that Krishna is the center. This is described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, when the four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha. Everyone accepts that Krishna is the center. And there's no envy. There's no envy of those who serve Krishna. It's because everyone loves Krishna so much. And why does everyone love Krishna? Why can't we be the center? Why is Krishna the center? Because he's all attractive and wonderful. He's all attractive. And everything he does has a specific sweetness to it. We know that he's Bhagavan. That means he's... What does Bhagavan mean? Go ahead. What does it mean?
God.
Yes, what does it mean?
Full of opulences.
It's full of opulences. What opulences? One.
Renunciation.
He's completely renounced. That's the least attractive for most people. But anyway, starting. Okay, what's the most attractive opulence of Krishna?
Beauty.
His beauty. Wealth. His beauty. What? Wealth. That's funny. She needs one of those prayer t-shirts. No, she's just Yeah, it's beautiful. He's strong. How beautiful is unlimitedly beautiful? We can't even conceive of what unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly attractive, and you put them together, and the way he deals, it just charms and enchants everyone. So when he's holding up Govanan Hill, or what's the most interesting thing for you about the pastime, the Govanan Lila pastime? Yes?
Scratching my head.
Yeah, there you go, scratching again. Okay, what's the most interesting thing?
When I
was thinking, the scratch? Sorry.
When I was thinking about Govanan Lila, the first thing that came to my mind was like the painting, I think, that's most common, where Krishna is kind of at the center. And I guess maybe I was trying to visualize my point of view if I was under Govardhan and just kind of my amusement of him just doing this spectacular thing and like rain and thunder all across, but I'm just solely focused on him. Like lifting Govardhan Hill, so that kind of amusement of him doing something so spectacular amongst everything, kind of providing a calming presence in one sort.
Okay, you used the word amusing. Okay, think of a word that really describes your feelings when you see Krishna,
like,
in that sense.
Bewildered, I guess, is another thing. Just completely. I don't know. I can't think of another word.
Bewildered. What do you mean by bewildered?
Just like, I guess just kind of so caught up in seeing what he's doing and not focusing on anything else.
Yeah,
it's
wonderful.
Something so spectacular.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? What intrigues you most about Krishna's Govardhan Lila? Just wait 2 seconds. This may take some time. Is it off? No, it's not off. It has a mind that it's taking over. Wait a second. Everyone, don't look at your mobile phones now. Yeah.
Okay, so originally it was sacrifices for the village for Lord Indra. So Krishna stopped that and said, we worship Govardhan instead. So from that I took he was A, like curbing Indra's pride.
Yeah. Nice thought. Because what really strikes me about all of Krishna's pastimes, because there's a way of looking at Krishna's pastimes that they're just stories, sort of, and clever stories, and there's clever dealings between Radha and Krishna, and they're cute, and Krishna kills this demon, and Krishna kills that demon. But that's true, all those things are true. But what's really going on is the exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna's Lila Purushottam, and his Rasraj. And this is what's going on in Vrindavan, and that's what to look for. How the ecstasy of the residents of Vrindavan is always increasing, and Krishna, through pastimes, is trying to increase their ecstasy, and they are trying, meaning their happiness, their ecstatic experience of being with Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan are trying to increase Krishna's ecstasy in this, in their relationship, because this is what love is. It's trying to bring happiness upon one's beloved. So in Govardhan Leela, there's many things going on. And one is, as Prabhu has said, that Krishna is interacting with Indra. And although that's so important, that he wants to decrease Indra's pride, and he does it in such a way that, like a perfect teacher, he teaches him in such a way that the student, Indra, comes to his own conclusion. Because if someone tells you, it's like this, and you have to think like this, and you have to, then there's a tendency to resist. But if a circumstance is set up by the expert teacher, will you come to your realization, yes, it is like that, then that lesson is your wealth, and it's yours forever. So Krishna, without telling Indra that his great power was really insignificant, and that he was a servant of he who is the all-powerful, himself, Krishna, he just lifted the hill and put it on the little finger of his left hand just to protect all the residents of Vrindavan. And he said, you all come under this hill, and everything you need has already been provided for you. And not only, because the acharyas asked the question, how could all of Praja, with its 900,000 cows and the wagons and the wealth of the Brijbasis and all the Brijbasis, how could they all fit under the hill? So our acharyas answered, not only could all that fit under the hill, but the three worlds, all of creation, could also fit under that hill. Because there's room enough for everyone in the shelter of Krishna. And as Krishna arranged the circumstance for Indra to understand this, that his power, no matter how great it was, first of all, it's a gift of Krishna. And there should be no pride when one has a gift. So whatever, this is such a lesson, I find, that whatever one's gifts are, and we all have our gifts, our opulences, they're a gift. And instead of being proud of that gift, whatever it is, instead of being proud of it, and using it just for me, as if I'm the center, I should offer that to Krishna. And Indra was not in that mood. He had become so proud. He had become so proud that he was ready, because this one sacrifice had been stopped in one village. He's the king of heaven. Means the whole universe, practically speaking. And because this one sacrifice in one village, they had turned their back on him, he became so angry. And this is the nature of pride. One's capable of anything. He became so angry, he wanted to kill everyone. I always think that's quite extreme. And all the cows, too. He was ready to kill everyone. He got so angry because he was insulted. How dare they do this to me? Has anyone ever seen a Govardhan Leela drama, on Govardhan Puja, or at some temple or another? Has anyone not seen one? Was that a yes or a no? You've seen it or not seen one?
Not
yet. Wow. That's amazing. But in any case, like the part of angry Indra is the easiest part to play. How dare they do this to me? Don't they know who I am? Old clouds come and destroy all of it. It's so natural, unfortunately. So Krishna, because Indra was a devotee, he wanted to remove his pride, because pride and devotion don't go well together. Rather, Mahaprabhu says, Trinada Pisuni Trinada, humility and devotion do go well together, because then one can chant with a full heart. But yet, although, so bringing that point to a conclusion, is that although, Krishna arranged that, and also Krishna arranges for all of us circumstances in life that will remove our pride. Confirmed. Remove our pride, and we don't like it. It's bitter medicine, but Krishna always, the universe is arranged by Krishna's arrangement that no one can become proud unless they're very determined till the very end. And Prabhupada even said, an old man cannot be proud, although there are many old men who refused to become humble by the force of time. Determined, like Kamsa was so determined to not surrender to Krishna, so there's that side too. But although, so there's a point that Krishna taught Indra in that way. And Krishna teaches each and every one of us in that way too. And we always try to reorganize the universe so that it doesn't, so it fully cooperates us. That's what the material mind is again. But if you haven't noticed it yet, the universe refuses to be organized around me and my desires. So, that's one of the points of the Leela, but the point that I would like to emphasize is how Krishna reacted. And the reason why this really strikes me, and I find myself speaking about it relatively quite often, is because I had told the Govardhan Leela's pastime so many times that I found after a while it wasn't interesting for me anymore, because I already knew it, and not only did I know it, more or less everyone who I spoke to also knew about the whole pastime, about Indra became so angry. Krishna spoke to Nanda Maharaj and he convinced him not to hold the sacrifice. And then so they had a wonderful festival around Govardhan, and a joyous festival around Govardhan. And then Indra became angry and he called for the clouds and poured torrents of rain down, and then Krishna asked everyone to get lifted the hill and asked everyone to get under the hill, and then after a few days, then Indra understood and they put down the hill. So I told that story so many times, and there's something wonderful about telling the story so many times, but I found I got bored doing it. And then one day, I was reading the pastime, I was looking at the verses, and I found something that really struck me. Just the mood of Krishna. The mood of Krishna, because again, what we want to always watch in the different pastimes about Krishna that we hear about, we want to watch what the mood of Krishna is in relationship to the devotees, excuse me, and what the mood of the devotees are in relationship to Krishna. So, Kindra. Became so angry that the clouds of universal destruction released untimely from their bondage, they went to the coward pastures of Nandamaras and they began to torment the inhabitants of Vrindavan by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. And there was fierce wind and the clouds were blazing with lightning. Have any of you ever been outside or close to a thunderstorm when the lightning and thunder is, it's quite frightening. Did you become afraid? Did that happen to you?
Yeah.
Did you become afraid?
Yeah.
Did you pray?
Yeah.
Good. Well, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and they roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. The rain was as thick as columns, and the whole land became submerged in water. And the cows and other animals, they were shivering from the excessive rain and wind. And the cowherd men and the cowherd ladies, they were pained by the cold. And they all approach Lord Govinda for shelter. And this is the essence of what it means to be a devotee. That when there's any difficulty, or on the other side, any success or happiness, the devotees turn to Krishna always. They turn to Krishna. They all approach Lord Govinda, Govindam Saranam Jayo. They approach Krishna for shelter. They were trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall. And they were, the cows even, they were trying to cover their heads and their calves with their own bodies. They still wanted to protect the calves. And the cows also, not only the people, they all approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they spoke to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, O greatly fortunate one. Twanatam Gokulam Prabhu. You are our Lord. You are the master, O Prabhu, you are the master of Gokul. Tratur Arhasi Devana. That please, protect us from this tremendous difficulty caused. They wouldn't mention Indra's name because they were so upset with him, but from this deva to this demigod, Kupatam Bhaktivatsala. And please do this because Indra is so angry and you are Bhaktivatsala. You are the protector and lover of your devotees. And they were devotees. They were devoted to Krishna. They took shelter of Krishna. Whenever anything happened to them, they thought about Krishna. So here's the English translation. O Krishna, O Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please also save us. And seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of the hail and the blasting winds, the Supreme Lord Hari understood this was the work of angry Indra. And he said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain together with the terrible winds and hail. And then there's quite a few verses where he explains why he's going to do what he's doing. But then he says, I must tasmad matcharanam goshtam man manatam maparigrahan kopaye swatma yogena soyam me vrata ahita. Please listen to Krishna's mood. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, by my power. Because I am their shelter. They have taken shelter of me. I am their shelter. Manatam, they said, you are our Lord Prabhu. You are Anatta. And he's saying, they have taken shelter of me, and I must protect them, because I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Soyam me vrata aita. This is Krishna's vow. Bhaktivatsalya atmapajanta vidanyata. Up to the point of giving himself to his devotees. He vows to protect them. This is the quality his. Aishwarya, Madhurya, Karune. He has great power, he has great sweetness, and he has great mercy. But the most lovable quality of his is that he, his devotees are so dear to him. His devotees are so dear to him, and he reciprocates with them up to the point of even giving himself to his devotees. That he becomes indebted to his devotees. And just like the devotees were so enthralled just looking at Krishna and absorbed in looking at Krishna, and they thought of nothing else when he was lifting the hill, Krishna, and this amazed me when I read this, Krishna was absorbed in thinking about them, and he was getting energy and enthusiasm because of their love. It was all about an exchange of love between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna, who is unlimitedly powerful, was getting enthusiastic and more energy and strength, so much so that he forgot about eating and sleeping and whatever, just by thinking of just seeing how much his devotees loved him. And then he said to them, oh yeah, so after all, I have, and there's one word in this, parigrahan, which means they are my family. Your family, you naturally take care of. You don't see any difference between yourself and them practically. And people undergo so much difficulty, austerity, just to take care of their family members. And Krishna said, I will do that. So one meaning of pratigrahan is family members. And another meaning, our acharya is saying, is that I'll protect them even by illegal means, doing things that I shouldn't really be doing according to moral codes. I will protect them. So yam me vrata ahita. This is the vow that I have taken to always care for my devotees. And then Krishna picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easy as a child holds up a mushroom. But when Krishna does stuff, he does it so, he has his own way of doing things that is so wonderful. So there's a quotation in the BBT purport, quoting through the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says that when Krishna was preparing to lift Govardhan Hill, his son Harika potency remove the rain in the sky, so that he went from the veranda of his house to the hill, and neither his turban nor his other garments became wet. He just did everything. His potency served him. And then he spoke to the cowherd community, and he said, "Oh mother, oh father, O residents of Braja, If you wish, you may now come under this hill along with your cows. And don't be afraid that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rains, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. So there's such a, to me this is, for so many reasons, but it's so inspiring that Krishna has, makes his arrangements to care for us. It's already arranged. So he does his part, and we should do our part in the relationship. So with Krishna lifting the hill, and then he assured them, this hill won't fall from my hand. And thus, their minds pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill. Beneath the hill, they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, all their wagons, all their servants, all their priests, and for all other members of the community as well. And this was the verse that I hinted at already. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst, he put aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Braja gazed at him. And this verse has two meanings. One is that he, Krishna, put aside all any of his own needs to serve the residents of Vrindavan, and because, and he stood there getting energy and getting happiness by the love of the residents of Vrindavan, just awestruck and bewildered. That was the word you ended up using, bewildered by, this is so amazing. He's holding up the hill with a little finger of his left hand. And also they were, forgot all personal considerations because they were, Krishna forgot everything. He was bewildered by their love, and they were so absorbed in thinking of him and looking at him. Because again, he's so beautiful. He's unlimitedly beautiful and unlimitedly charming. And this is what was going on underneath the hill. There was just this exchange of love between Krishna and the devotees. And without capturing a little bit of the exchange of love that's going on, then it's just a cute story. That's what we should watch. Because you're going to go to Vrindavan, you went to Ter Kadamba, and there's so many exchanges. Krishna, what is Ter Kadamba? What is the meaning of the place name? Yeah, you was that moving way off the, we knew you had the answer there. Yeah, what does it mean?
Calling from the Kadamba tree.
Yeah, he was climbing the Kadamba tree and he called the cows with his flute. But the cows, the cows, Krishna's calling them by their names, this flute. And how was he keeping track of all the cows? Did you hear that? Did you mention that one? How was he keeping track of the different?
The Baba mentioned it.
Okay.
The chanting
beads. He had, yeah, beads. And that was the first, he was, you ready? That was the first calculator. Sorry. Nitai, do you forgive me for that? You get it? Pretty funny, huh? If you like it, you can have it. Take it.
I'll take it.
Okay. And interestingly enough, while everyone was looking at Krishna and so absorbed in that, and while Krishna was looking at the lovely resonance of Vrindavan, that Indra's back in the picture now. He sees this and he becomes astonished and pulled down from his platform of false pride, His intentions thwarted. He ordered the clouds to desist. And that's, in the Bhagavatam, that's how the 7 days are described in one. There's no mention of what happened under the hill for 7 days. Because the Bhagavatam and the Acharyas have, Kavi Kanapur and Srila Jiva Goswami, but especially Kavi Kanapur, he's written so many of the sweet things that were going on. And Mother Yasoda, she's in so much anxiety that that Krishna hasn't eaten anything, and how she's telling him to put some food in his hand, so eat some yogurt at least, and how come you cowherd men don't help him, and she's in anxiety like that, and each of the different residents of Vrindavan are carrying on the relationship with Krishna. But the essence of the point that Srila Sukadev Goswami is making is Krishna is doing this to protect his devotees. And there's just a complete exchange of love. And because they fully trust Krishna, they enter underneath the hill with no anxiety because they're fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Now that is what we suggest is your real mission while you are here during your time in the shelter of Govanan, Kiras Govanan, is don't be in anxiety. Just see if you can focus your consciousness on Krishna with good chanting, good hearing about places, and good mood of service, and helping others, and push yourself out of the center, and put Krishna and his dear devotees in the center. And then your time here will be so valuable and worthwhile. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes. Is it a question or a comment?
A question.
Okay. Of the devotees, they were quite upset with Indra because he was trying to kill them all. So they wouldn't even mention his name. But once they got under the hill, and once they saw Krishna doing that, they forgot completely about Indra, and they were just absorbed and astonished at what Krishna was doing. But then, after the hill was put down, then Krishna told all the, he was with the boys, and he told all the boys that, and they had the cows there, that I want to go around and just see if there was any damage caused to the hill because of what Indra has done and our picking up the hill and putting it down. But what was in Krishna's mind was that he knew Indra was going to come and apologize because he understood his fault. And he didn't want to embarrass him and have him apologize in front of many people, many of his friends. So he went to a secluded place. And some say it's that place is by Govindakund, and there's a little place right over there where there's a tree even, where they say, this is where Krishna was standing when Indra came. And then if you read the 27th chapter of the 10th canto, it talks about Indra's apology. So Krishna wasn't angry at him because he knew that Indra was his devotee, but was just caught by, because the most difficult thing to deal with in one sense is power. So sometimes the devotees, especially if they have mixed mixed desires, Krishna will give them, allow them to fulfill their desires for wealth or power or something like that. That's one way that, and then there's other devotees that Krishna gives those things, not because they want it, but they want to serve. And Prabhupada was like that. He gave him so much. It's such an amazing story, the story of Prabhupada, because it's true. That's one thing, undeniably true. And everyone knows how many rupees Prabhupada had or something when he came on the boat, and it was practically nothing. It's practically nothing. And then by the time Prabhupada left this world, he had millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars at his disposal, practically speaking. He had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees who would do whatever he said. He was such a gargantuanly great person. So Krishna had given him that. And to me, that explains Prabhupada's mood, is that he knew that Krishna was giving him this. He wanted to serve. And he knew that Krishna was giving him facility to serve. And he was going to his last breath, he was going to use whatever Krishna gave him, whatever man, whatever money, whatever influence Krishna gave him. He just powered ahead, trying to serve. So getting back to your question, Krishna wasn't angry at Indra, just like the parents don't really become angry at the child. If the child makes a mistake, then they chastise him. But the essence of chastisement is always, when done properly, is always affection. What are you sorry about?
Apologies if I didn't get this takeaway, but between devotee to devotee, the devotees of Krishna that were sheltered under Govardhan Hill versus Lord Indra, another devotee to Krishna, was forgiveness shown between them? Because it was like an indirect relation of how that went down.
Yeah, they didn't see Indra apologize, but they were so absorbed in thinking about Krishna that they forgot everything. They forgot their hunger, their thirst. They were just so absorbed in thoughts about Krishna. And their hearts were full and blossoming because of that. Because usually often our negative emotions come because of internal emptiness. So there was no internal emptiness for them. They were just in ecstasy. And even Govardhan Hill, he didn't experience any pain when the lightning bolts were hitting him and the thunder was, and the rain. He was just in ecstasy, being touched by the hand of Krishna. And also Kavi Kanapur describes, he said he was fully intoxicated by the fragrance of Krishna's breath as he was breathing. So when we, if somehow or another, and probably, have you ever been in a kirtan where you were fully absorbed? And and you lose your anger, and you lose whatever frustrations, at least during the kirtan. It all goes away because of the touch of the transcendental realm is so satisfying to the heart. It's of a different substance. It's a different substance than the realm of matter. So what we really ultimately want to do is be always in touch with the transcendental realm. And how to do that? That's the mission of life, to somehow or another, either this way or this way or this way or this way, somehow. And that was the first thing I sort of said, is that you want to base your view of the external world on an internal view, a very deep internal view. And that way it heals the divide in our consciousness between this is for me and this is for Krishna. We can somehow put Krishna in the center of everything. I once, in 1968, Where were you in 1968?
In a past life.
Yeah, what are you? Yeah.
Who?
Who, what, where?
Somewhere in Barat.
Yeah, anyway, in 1968, I saw Prabhupada, he was in New Vrindavan. There was just a few devotees in the room, and we were all just kids, basically. You know, some of us were bigger kids than others, but we were just kids. 20, 22, 24. Not to insult any of you who are still kids, but when you're old, that's how you know. But we didn't know we were kids. And Prabhupada, he said, we should arrange our life in such a way that we always remember Krishna. And then he turned to Brahmananda Prabhu and said, that's not difficult, is it? And Brahman said, no, it's very easy. But that's really what we want to do, to see somehow or another, arrange our life in such a way, arrange our minds in such a way that everything is connected to Krishna. So, what do you do in your life? Yeah, yes, it's...
What do you mean, what do I do?
What do you do? What do you mean by what do you mean? What do you do? Are you a student? Are you a teacher?
Oh,
are you a...
My profession?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm an engineer.
Okay, what kind of an engineer?
I'm a civil engineer.
Okay. And is there some way and you have a regular old job working for an engineering company, or you?
Construction.
Okay. Is there some way you can connect that to Krishna? The fact that you have a job as an civil engineer in a construction company, having to probably deal with all the municipal authorities and try to work around their rules and everything. Is there some way that Krishna can be a part of that, your vision of your life, and instead of it being your job, it becomes your service? Is there some way?
There's always a way, yes.
Okay, now the challenge is to find it and to live it. And you could use the skills and the intelligence you've developed in Krishna service, and you could be watching all the people in the corporate world deal and understanding. There's so many things you could see. But then, of course, the question again is how to get our vision deep enough, our internal vision, our internal realization, our faith, our trust, deep enough so we can actually see in that way. Not just theoretically, but actually. And even when there's a disaster, and even when the rain is pouring down like pillars, and there's hailstones and thunder and lightning, and sometimes if it doesn't literally happen like that, and sometimes it does literally happen like that, sometimes terrible things happen. And then our ability to see Krishna is really tested. And we want to become that deep. Would you like to be that deep? I also would. And life looked at in that way it holds a mirror up to us to see how deep or shallow we are, and no one else can see, maybe, and we become expert at putting on a good show sometimes, but self-assessment, introspection is important. Thank you. Any other? Wait, I didn't even call on you yet. To the corner with you, in the back. Yeah. I'm just teasing you.
Part in the relationship.
Yeah.
So, when, how do we know that?
always is a time to take shelter.
This is the night when we should stop praying.
No, we should always take shelter, and we should always try our best. There's an old Chinese saying, if I could say it in Chinese, I'd be better than I am, so I can't. But there was once a dog, and he was hungry, and he was, and suddenly a rabbit came running by, and the dog was like sitting or sleeping by a stone, and a rabbit came by and running by, and he banged into the stone and fell down dead, and the dog, being a dog, ate him. And he thought, this is a great system. I don't have to do anything anymore. I'll just sit here by the stone and wait for the rabbits to come. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes it does, but we don't. Yeah, we try our best. We try our best and leave the result to Krishna. And sometimes, yeah, Krishna he intervenes. It's like, yeah, when you have your exams, you have to study also. Does that answer your question by not answering it fully directly? I mean, it's obvious, you have to do your part. Yes, whatever Krishna has given you, you should use in his service. Yes.
And at what point do we stop trying?
When?
If we're trying to achieve something or...
Well, I know the answer to that practically is we all stop trying when we have no choice. And we run out of everything and say, like Jhopadi, at some point, she said, oh, God, there's no one else but you who can protect me. That's when we stop trying. Otherwise, we try our best. Have you ever been at that point in your life? And certainly, at the time of death, you can't do anything anymore. I think I was talking to Aravinda yesterday, just mentioning we were sharing experiences in Braj, and I remembered one time many years ago, I had a motor scooter with its little wheels, and it was too heavy for me, actually. And as I was driving, I got it to come to Govanon, actually. And one time I was driving back, and there was a speed bump. Did I ever tell you this story? Okay. And then I decided to go around it. But the machine was too heavy for me. And I started going around it, and I was losing control. And suddenly everything slowed down, and everything, not really, but in my mind, everything went into slow motion. And somehow or another, I started thinking, this is like death. I somehow started thinking in a philosophical way as the thing was out of control. I was going very slowly. And I was trying everything I knew to get it back under my control. But I saw that it wasn't working. And it was all in slow motion. It was really dramatic. And suddenly it went over. And I started thinking, this is like death, where you're trying all the tricks you use in your life that get you through life, your influence, your intelligence, your charm, the this, that, who you know, everything. You try every one of them, but they all fail. And suddenly, the road was on, I still know approximately where it was. It was on this raised part of the road, and I went over on the right-hand side, and it was raised, and there was all these bauble bushes down there, all these sticker bushes. And I went over, and the machine landed right on top of me. And right below me were all these sticker bushes with these sharp points. So I couldn't move, because sounds pretty dramatic, yeah. But anyway, it's a true story. And then I was there, There's nothing I could do. I couldn't move. I had this machine on top of me. And I probably forgot all about Krishna, but immediately, within a minute, within I don't know how many seconds really, they used to have these temples, they used to call them. What do they call them now? They don't even have them. Those three wheeler things. What? Yeah, but big ones. They used to have big ones. Now they have four wheelers. They do it.
They're very long.
Yeah.
Like a station wagon.
Yeah.
No windows.
No windows, but full of thousands
like
of people. So anyway, so immediately one of these temple things stops and all these Brijbasi guys get out, they're laughing, and they just pull the machine off of me, pull me out, they get back in the tempo and just drive off. That's sort of what Vrindavan is like, you know, all these wild things happen all the time, and it's like, did I just imagine this? What just happened here? Yeah. But this last question, because we want to have plenty of time for the...
Okay.
But go ahead.
You said that the devotees entered under the hill with full trust in Krishna, with no anxiety, that anything would go wrong. So I wanted to know how to implement having no anxiety to, I guess, go under the hill.
Yes, become a devotee, a real devotee. Or become a servant of devotees that you see are deeper than you, who are like a tree, who are very, very strong and stable. That was you yesterday, who liked
yeah.
that tree, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, how to become a devotee, then that's how to become a real devotee is the real question of life. You know, what does it mean? If you pray to Kiriraj, or you may know the answer yourself, if you could do one thing that would take you one step closer, that was within your capacity, this is one way, what would it be? Do you know what? I remember talking to a room full of devotees and saying if you, the same thing, if you know, okay, everyone close your eyes. And try to think of if there's one thing that you could do that's actually in your capacity, a baby step, so to speak, that would help you get closer to Krishna, take a step to Krishna. Do you know what that would be? After you've gotten your answer, or not gotten your answer, just open your eyes. Did any of you know what that would be? Raise your hand if you sort of have an idea. I'm not going to call on anyone. Is that a yes or a no? I'm not sure. Huh?
Maybe.
Pray. Yeah, you found something. Yeah, I'm not going to ask you what it is.